Blog Talk Radio.
So those faithless and perverse generation. What do you say? Faithless and what else? What makes a man get perverted without faith? What's perverted our Christianity? Faithless.
Well, say that profess that God has given you power, love, and a sound mind, and your mind is not sound. You don't have power to overcome your present situation and circumstances.
Now, the devil is always pushing. You can recognize the demons working because they always push to impetuous, immediate action. Don't think, do. And the devil say, if you don't do it now, you'll miss the opportunity. If you don't move now, if you don't sell now, if you don't jump now, it'll be gone.
And the kingdom of God is best expressed by authority and power to cast out devils.
Listen, dear friends. Don't forget that little word he said, seek ye first. Come on, that's the secret right there, seek ye first. Seek ye first. Oh, I tell you, the average person said, seek me first. That's it, seek me first. Put me first.
Well, anyone who opposes the kingdom of God and the casting out of devils, because when we're of God's kingdom, our sole purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom. Our sole purpose is to cast down Satan's kingdom.
I can tell you whether you won souls or not, whether you get your prayers answered, whether you're happy or not, whether you got a happy home or not, whether you're worth killing in the church or not. I can tell you, if you log your prayers and let me see how you start your day out, if you grab a cup of coffee and a newspaper and sit there for an hour and let the Bible go begging, brother, you're mixed up in worldliness.
The Word of God said, we're going over to the other side. And in the midst of the Word of God saying, we are going over to the other side, the enemy showed up in the storm. And the first thing that the enemy did was challenge those who walk with Christ. Those who eat with Him and slept with Him and saw the miracle, the signs and the wonders done by Him. The first thing that the enemy did was steal the Word that they heard right out of their heart and then allow doubt to rise up on the inside of them, and instead of believing what the Word of God said, they said, Lord, we perish.
Reading the Word that's going to give you faith, that isn't what He's talking about. It isn't just hearing the Word that's going to give you faith. You've got to open your spiritual ear or eye as you hear or read the Word and appropriate by faith. Make it yours.
That'll sober you up. That ought to melt your silly heart. I'm not interested in your feelings and your little silly sentimentality. I'm wondering about your love for Christ and compassion for others. Do you care? I'm asking you one question tonight. Do you love Jesus or do you love this stinking world?
But God wants us to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Deceiving ourselves. How many folks are deceived every single week? Going to hear what they call the Word and it never once emboldens them or give them a desire or a passion to do the works of Christ.
We want just a bunch of sickly sentimentality, and we want to just fix up sort of a hiding place and a loophole for sinners to say, well, if that old cuss made it in, I can make it in myself.
The kingdom is within you, and the only kingdom that this world is going to understand until the King comes is what they see in us. Because now we are the only creatures that have the ability to walk in darkness and to walk in light.
Oh, God, people, glory!
Hey, bless you all. Shalom, shalom, shalom. How's everybody doing this first day of the week? Hope you all are encouraged and keeping yourself in the love of Yah. Good to see you all in the room tonight, those that are listening by phone, over the internet. Bless you all, my sisters in the room, Sister Brittany, Sister Green, Sister Heidi, Sister Ziona, Josh. Good to see you in there, Josh. Always appreciate your labor, son. Hope you all doing well. Good. The sound checks are coming in. It appears that everybody can hear real well. on my end here, this Qualcomm, this Polycom, and been doing all kind of crazy stuff. I already got cut off once because the phone cord is messed up, so hoping that it holds up to the broadcast. But, man, I hope you all had a good day. I hope you all had a restful Shabbat yesterday. Again, another beautiful word that we were privileged to sit and honor and listen in our ears to get more learning and understanding from our Shepherd Pastor Dowell and through the instruction of the Holy Spirit. Speaking about, you know, the law to us is just simple. And but there's so many out there that have been so deceived that it's no longer in effect. And yesterday, the way Pastor broke it down, I mean, it's, again, and you can't not see what was being said unless you know, under some, God's just not dealing with you. That's the only way that I can put it, because we are truly blessed to be able to hear what we hear. Tonight, we're going to talk about the topic, and the name of the study is called Strange Fire. I pray that it encourages somebody, gives somebody direction, maybe look inwardly a little bit. I know that when I, you know, sit down and prepare these studies, and I'm definitely being ministered to and reproved by the Holy Spirit, you know, the whole time. And, you know, it's one thing to tell and, you know, sit up here and, you know, do a broadcast and instruct everybody else or give everybody else the word, but not taking heed to itself is a fatal mistake. But anyway, with that, again, thank you, Josh, for being there to post the scriptures and the definitions. And again, the title tonight is called Strange Fire. All right, Strange Fire. Have to write something down here, so I... Oh, it sounded like I lost y'all for a minute. Like I say, I hope this thing holds up. All right, with that, we're going to get started. We shouldn't be too long for you tonight. You know, as in all things, any studies, any topics with the Word of Yah, it's inexhaustible. I mean, you can't dig as deep as Yah can, you know, make the way for you to dig. It's just impossible. That's the beauty of it. You know, he's without end. All right, Strange Fire. Yahweh demands that we carry out his instructions as they were given to us, and not for us to add or take away from those instructions. We need to be very careful and very sober in how we represent our Elohim before other people, before Israel and before those that are without. We offer up strange fire, and we're going to break that down and tell you what that means. We offer up strange fire when we walk contrary to Yah's ways, when we replace his ways with our own inventions and our own ideas. We offer up strange fire when we promote falsehoods, false doctrines, false theologies, which we believe are acceptable before Yah, which, of course, are not. We offer up strange fire when we go about establishing our own righteousness, when we dare to offer up a substitute offering before Yahweh, one which is not approved of him. Ask yourself, how well do you represent Yahweh in his ways among the nations, among the Gentiles, and amongst each other? Strange fire originates solely from a man. It disregards the will of Yah or obedience to the authority of Yah. It is wholly done through a man's own zeal, and its end is death. Strange fire is to serve without an order, to serve without obedience to authority. Strange fire is found in self-will and presumptuous ways. So I hope you got all that. And again, there was more, but we're going to stick to that kind of focal point right there, because it pretty much explains, you know, really the topic that we're dealing with tonight. All right, starting in Leviticus chapter 10, Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 through 7, Leviticus chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. I'll give you all a minute to get there if you got your word in front of you. All right, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered or approached or drew near and offered strange fire before Yahweh, which he commanded not. So right here, these two sons of Aaron in the priesthood, and I didn't bother to put in Leviticus chapter 9 or some other places that tell you the progression of things, but quickly what was going on here was the tabernacle had been built. They were in 7 days of consecration, and here on the eighth day, I believe it was the eighth day, you have these two sons of Aaron that have watched everything happening to this whole time. In fact, after all the days of the consecration were fulfilled, they actually saw the fire of Yah come down from heaven and consume the offering, which is, in effect, Yah giving his approval that everything was done and performed as he instructed the priesthood to do so. So now we have these two sons of Aaron, these two priests, and they're doing what they believe is their duty. They get the censer, it's a fire pan, and they put fire in, which is actually coals, and they put the incense thereon, and then they're going to present it before the altar of incense. But what they did is they offered up before the Most High what is known as strange fire, which he commanded them not to do. Commanded them not to do, meaning that he already had a prescribed way that they were to handle their business. Okay, the word strange is the Hebrew 21:14, and I forgot to mention that I'm using the King James. Honestly, I read mostly the Aramaic, the Peshitta, and the Hebrew Bible. It's the King James because it's just common to everybody. But anyway, the word strange, the Hebrew 21:14, Zoar, it means to turn aside, hence to be a foreigner, strange, profane, specifically to commit adultery. So what we have working here is we have the two sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and they offered profane or foreign fire, foreign substance before the Most High, which he commanded them not to do. And we're going to find out he didn't recognize that, and it led to their deaths. That which is profane is less than holy. It cannot merit holiness and is despised and rejected of Yahweh. Profane from the Latin is the word profanus, which literally means outside the temple. So things that are done outside the temple. So in the literal sense, this would be something being offered before Yahweh which had not been consecrated or purified before being brought before him and found acceptable. The outcome would, of course, been a judgment. And how do we prepare when we bring before Yahweh? So that's what I need to do, ask your question. How are those things which are acceptable in his sight, those things which he would acknowledge are things that have been consecrated and pure in his eyes when we come before him? How does this reflect on our prayers? Are your worship? Are you presenting strange fire before Yahweh with your unholy offerings? And we're going to break this down and find out, and you can determine yourself if that might be the case and correct the situation before it's too late. All right, verse 2. And there went out fire from the Most High and devoured them, and they died before Yahweh. There is simply no way to know why these two sons of Aaron deviated from the command and instruction that Yahweh had given Aaron and his sons and the priesthood when it came to the service of the tabernacle. We just can't know because it's never been said. It is clear, though, that the transgression was because of the use of the source of the fire, or quote, coals, which had not been designated by Yah for the duties for which Yah required of the priest. Now, speculation, and there's a lot of different speculations out there, is that the two sons used the coals from the fire of the burnt offerings rather than use the fire which Yah had kindled himself on the altar of incense. And you'll read that instruction in Exodus 30 and other places. And again, we have to understand in verse 1, they did things that he commanded them not to do. So they did something alternative to what they were told to do. What is clear is that their actions were that of presumption and not one of ignorance, because they had already been told what to do. for they had already been given the instructions of their duties, and they knew how they must perform them as per the commandments of Yahweh, just as we do. We have been given our instruction. We have been given the commandments, the ordinance, and the statutes. We already were, without excuse, we know what how we have to do things in order to be acceptable to the Most High, to please Him. It wasn't that they were simply doing something of which they had no idea or insight, as clearly they already had the knowledge of what must be done in accordance with the commands of Yah, and by doing otherwise brought swift judgment upon themselves. The transgression of Nadab and Abihu was that of willful presumption. They took for granted the fact that Yah wouldn't care about it, even though he said that he would. They gave no weight to his words, but insisted that their way was appropriate and should be acceptable before Yahweh. Do we ever find ourselves doing that? By their disobedience, they changed the way Yahweh had demanded he be honored and glorified, and they brought in a misrepresentation of his level of required and demanded holiness, perverting and distorting his purity. They brought him down a simple man by doing that which they thought was right in their own eyes. Okay, verse 3. Then Moses said unto Aaron, so now we have these two sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu. They presented foreign or profane offering of fire, incense, before Yah. Yah struck them down, maybe did, so having to have a conversation with their father. And then Moses said unto Aaron, this is that which Yahweh spake, saying, I will be sanctified, mean hallowed, and then that come nigh to me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. You know, look here, Yah tells Moses that that Yahweh will be honored, that he will be reverenced and hallowed by any and all who approach unto him, the same approach that we need to have when we go before the Most High. He demands that he will be sanctified in all men's sight. Men cannot go before Yahweh any old way. This is unacceptable before the Most High because he demands that he be glorified. And it's due him. He is the creator. He is the only Elohim. Verse 4, Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Uziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said unto them, come near, carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp. So they went near and carried them the coats out of the camp, as Moses had said. Now, you know, basically, you got charred remains of these two young priests. And so they wrapped them in their coats, and they carried them out of the camp, as Moses had instructed. And Moses said to Aaron, and to Eleazar, and to Ithamar, his sons, so he had four sons there in the priesthood, these were the two that were left, uncover not your heads, neither rend your clothes, lest ye die, lest the wrath come upon all the people. But let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which Yahweh hath kindled. You know, basically, Moses was just warning Aaron and his other two sons not to personally mourn the death of these two men, which to Aaron were sons and to the other two were brothers. That was their brothers. As they were wicked, the ones that died, did wickedness and deserved what they got for their defiled act of self-will and presumptuousness. Moses then goes on to say that the whole house of Israel should be in mourning for the disregard, not because of the death of these two, but because of the disregard and the disrespect toward Yahweh and the disregard from his people as to his holiness and righteousness because they disrespected the offering. And Yahweh's not going to have any part of it. When they offered the strange fire, they profaned him. And they basically put it right in his face that they just weren't going to be obedient to what he said for them to do. Verse 7, and you shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, lest you die, for the anointing of Yahweh is upon you. Basically saying you need to continue and perform your duties in spite of what just happened. Because you're not going to stop what you're doing, go mourn for a couple wicked folk. You know, there's a soul tie there, but that's not how Yah's going to see it. It's going to make him angry because these people just transgressed against him. He don't care about your feelings and emotions. You are going to stay in the service and not give any type of honor to or any type of reverence to these two dead wicked men because they transgressed against the Most High. lest you die from the anointing oil of Yahweh is upon you. And they did according to the word of Moses. So I hope we get the instruction here, the understanding about what had happened to this whole progression of events, is that you had these, again, these two young priests, and for some reason, nobody knows, that without explanation, they just decided to do something their other way and deviate from the commandment that had been given to them. You know, just like Israel did through all its history, they were given commandments and they deviated from them, and they're always judged for them, sometimes quite harshly. But Yah is not going to allow anyone to go up in his face and come to him any old way and to bring up any type of offering, especially in the form of a strange fire. And again, we're going to find out that can be a multitude of things. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 16 and 17. And Paul writes to the church at Corinth, "Know you not that you are the temple of Yah, and that the Spirit of Yah dwelleth in you?" That's where his presence is. It's supposed to be in you through his Holy Spirit. "If any man defile the temple of Yah, him shall Yah destroy, for the temple of Yah is holy, which temple you are." So you can see in these two verses, this is exactly what Nadab and Abihu did. They defiled the temple of Yah. They profaned it. And if any man does these things, they're worthy of death. That man Yah shall destroy. Exactly, we have the same exact pattern here of what happened to these men when they offered strange fire, an alternative, a substitute, other than that which was commanded to the Most High. The word defile here is used in verse 17 is the Greek 5351. This is from the Thayer definition, Josh. It means to corrupt, simply to corrupt, to destroy, to be destroyed, to perish. So if any man corrupt the temple of Yah, him shall Yah destroy, because Yah is not going to put up with him. And you are the temple of Yah, so what are you putting inside you that is of a strange origin, of a strange fire? Is it a false doctrine? Is it phoniness and a fakeness when you come to worship and dance before the Most High just to get along, to go along? Is it, there's a bunch of other things. I got them written down up here right now. I'm kind of getting lost in a little bit. But anyway, so what is it that we do? That's the whole point of this study, is what do we offer up as strange fire? Isaiah 55, verse 6. That's the only verse, Isaiah 55, verse 6. No, that one shouldn't have been in there. Sorry, skip that one, Josh. Oh, I see. I got a mess here. All right. Yep, go ahead. Isaiah 55, verses 6 through 8. I plugged in another two verses from some other book right in the middle, actually three. But we'll read that. Isaiah 55, 6 through 8. Now, remember, keep in your minds, we're studying about what happened to these two men, and you can relate them to everything we're reading here and apply them to them, their situation, and hopefully not yours, but you'll know if it's something that's working in you or has worked in you. Verse 6, "Seek ye Yahweh while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts." Well, why? There's a reason for this, right? "And let him return unto Yahweh, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our Yah, for he will abundantly pardon." So when a man is stuck in walking after his own thoughts, his own mind, his own will, he can't help but offer something that's profane and defiled and unacceptable for the Most High, because he's working after his own nature, right? And of course, in verse 7, you see how the two are tied together. Somebody, let him forsake his wicked way. And the wickedness is the man that stays in his own personal thoughts. And we're going to find out in the next verse where it says that in verse 8, "For Yah says, my thoughts are not your thoughts." So what you may be thinking, perceiving as something correct and acceptable that, you know, I would deem appropriate, speaking on behalf of Yah, is not the way it's going to be. That's why I wrote you a book full of instruction, laws, commandments, statutes, and ordinance, and gave you a word to follow, because your thoughts are not my thoughts. You can't possibly think and apply and know how to best lead people more than I can. So don't distance yourself from your thoughts and think on these thoughts, these things, what he wrote for us to do. Neither are your ways my ways, saith Yahweh. Okay, it's an exercise in futility to believe that we know better and have greater knowledge than the Creator himself. You know, how dare we presume that we have ways which in our eyes are regarded as all right in the sight of Yahweh. Clearly, Abihu and Nadab, their ways were not the ways of Yahweh. And when they sought to present their alternative version of the commandment and offer strange fire before Yah, they forfeited their lives for their presumption. So Yah isn't going to take it lightly, as we can tell. We can see the strange fire. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 and 27. Again, strange fire, something that's profane, something that's an alternative, a substitute, you know, something that's foreign and not recognized by the Most High. All right, verse 26. Or if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Now, did not Abihu and Nadab have the knowledge of what the truth of their duties and expected performances were? Yes, they did. They had already been told and perfectly laid out so there wouldn't be any mistakes, because Yah didn't want to go about killing anybody, but he wasn't about to let anybody pass for not being obedient, paying attention, and taking it seriously, the commandment. Did they not know full well what Yahweh had expected from them and of them? Did they not know full well the commandments that they were to obey? And yet for all that they chose to willfully, for all that, they willfully chose and presumptuously present an alternative before Yahweh, which was deemed as profane and not recognized by Yahweh. And of course, again, I'll say that they both got the death sentence. Verse 27, so after, if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of truth, knowing full well what we're supposed to do, and this is a total disregard, and I don't care, I'm going to do things like I see best because I have this belief in me that it's going to be acceptable, there remaineth no more sacrifice of sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. Again, we have the pattern here. The same exact judgment came on these two young priests because they did disregard the commandment. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Again, with still another illustration, you can go back to this. You should be able to take all these and apply them back to Leviticus chapter 10 and the fate of Abihu and Nabal, to both of them, because this is what... they had a way which they thought was right in spite of the fact that they had already been told what to do, just as we're told what to do in the entire book. And the end of that way, doing what our own thoughts, what's right in our own eyes, is the ways of death. You know, they found a path outside of the instructions that Yah had given them. We need to apply this to ourselves so we don't become before the Most High offering strange and profane fire. Romans chapter 12, verses 1-3. This phone is doing some goofy stuff, so if you hear like a buzzing in it, it's something going on in this thing. Romans chapter 12, again, Romans 12, 1-3. And Paul writes, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Elohim, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto Yah, which is your reasonable service, which is your rational, logical service. That's what expected of anybody that comes to serve the Most High. Remember, he has called us kings and priests, and we're in the servitude of the Most High. We're in his service as basically his slaves, and he commands his people what to do as his slaves, as his servants, and that's the expectation. So when you do that, you present yourself in a consecrated, holy way, meaning don't bring your own thoughts, your own will, your own intention to it. Just be pure, because he is pure. Do those things acceptable. Of course, now we can go back to what these Aaron's two sons did, and they did none of this. They found their own, what their own reasonable and accepted service was. Abihu and Nadab were charged as priests of the Most High to present themselves wholly consecrated and set apart for the master's use, which was the reasonable service, seeing as they were called to these duties, just as we are. Likewise, we also who have been called to this priesthood must perform our duties in the greatest regard to the reverence and holiness to Yahweh, to whom belongs all the honor and glory and majesty. In verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed. So in verse 1 we have, I beseech you, I'm invoking, I'm trying to get you to pay attention, brethren, by the mercies of Yah, because he's given you the opportunity to hear this, because that is his mercies that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable one, Yah, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, because you can't renew your mind if you're still conforming to the world that you left. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Yah, not your will, but what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will that Yah will accept. Be transformed by walking in the laws. Be transformed by walking in the statutes and commandments of Yahweh, living your life set apart and sanctified for the Master's use, allowing the word of Yah to order your steps and not seeking your own ways, the old ways, not walking in self-will, in presumption, or in the ways which are unacceptable to Yahweh and foreign to his majesty. Those ways which are strange and profane, bringing his wrath upon you. He doesn't recognize that no more. You're a new creature. You're supposed to walk in holiness. You can't bring the strange fire from your past, from the old man. Yah's not going to accept it. It's a defilement and a slap in his face for what he's done for you. So you can present strange fire, again, just jumping back in the flesh and acting out of the former self, because you are a new creation. And all those things should have been left behind and should be dead, actually. Verse 3, for I say, though, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as Yah hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Think carefully, soberly, don't make hasty decisions. Don't allow yourself to be given over to presumption and offer up a strange fire. Guard your words. Mind your tongue. Be careful how you deal with your brother's sister for whom Messiah died. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11 through 13. Yes, 8, 11 through 13. All right, this is, the words of Solomon. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of man is fully set in them to do evil. Why is it fully set? Well, because no sentence is passed quickly. It's not passed speedily. And again, in the case of Abihu and Nadab, their sentence was executed speedily, when in their presumption and careless abandon offered that which was profane before Yahweh. But because there is an immediate judgment and punishment in this day and age, men will continue operating in that which is not acceptable unto Yahweh, being deceived in their own selves that their works, their offerings of prayer, praise, fasting, and their doctrines have been approved of Yahweh. But it shall not be well at all in the day of judgment, when the all-consuming Elohim will expose the iniquity of man's heart. So again, what Solomon is saying is that because you're not called out on it right away, right? Because it's not, Yah can see it, another man can see it, but because he doesn't immediately judge the situation and allows you to continue that, It's not that you're going to get away with it, but the more that people get away with stuff like spreading false doctrines or coming to Yah in the wrong prescribed manner or, you know, getting up there in front of him and Yah's people, putting on this act of that they're actually praising when they're not, not showing that they're truly grateful and enjoy the Most High for all he's done with them. He sees all that stuff, right? And to him, that's profane. It's strange to him. It's foreign. That's not the expectation that he should have, or he knows he should, that is afforded him because he's the one that, you know, paid the price for you. He bought you, and who wouldn't expect more? I mean, obviously, a perfect compliance and obedience. He understands that we're flesh and that we do fail, but again, it's where our hearts and minds are. It is there to obey him and not to presumptuously and by self-will go ahead and decide our own course and place our thoughts above his thoughts and deem that which is acceptable. Verse 12, though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear Yahweh, which fear before him. That's the key, because when you keep yourself in the fear of Yahweh, that reverence and that respect for him and that honor because of who he is and because of what he's done for you, it's going to keep you from ever offering up strange fire. It's going to keep you pure in your praise, in your prayer life, in your fasting, in all your aspects. It's going to help you to continually walk in his commandments and not deviate to the left or the right, add to or take away from them. Verse 13, but it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before Yah. So, yeah, he's not going to get away. The wicked, the ones that, because they don't get the execution, you know, the judgment, the sentence is not executed speedily, they're the ones that are going to continue to go to this, but they're not getting away with nothing. It shall not be well with the wicked. It shall not be well with the profane or those that are foreign to Yah. He is going to judge them because they've lost the fear of Yah. Mark chapter 7, verses 6. This is a big one. 6 through 16, 10 verses. So again, keeping in retrospect or an aspect of the conversation, not about just offering strange fires. So as a Nadab and Abihu did, and deciding that they could just do things their own way, and Yah should find that acceptable, their substitute, which he didn't, is what we have to guard ourselves against, from offering any form of strange fire before Yah, because he's not going to recognize it, and you're going to feel the pain for it. All right, the words of Yahshua, the words of Jesus. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. You know, offering up strange fire before the people can be found in lying doctrines and beliefs and self-made theologies and idealisms, misrepresenting Yahweh and his righteous word, and presenting lies which are promoted as truth in the name of Yahweh. All those things which are not of the authority of Yah, which lead the people to err from those who are playing the part as his people, but robbing from Yah the true character of his nature found in his word. You know, they're stripping him. They're bringing him down. They're trying to steal his glory by presenting these falsehoods, misrepresenting him. This is truly profane and foreign and subject to utter destruction. Verse 8, for laying aside or the commandment of Yah, which is ignoring or disregarding the commandment of Yah, and Jesus speaking to the people of Israel. You hold the tradition of men. So you disregarded the commandment of Yah and decided that you'd rather do this or this is more appropriate, and he just has to accept it. You hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups and many other such things, like things you do. You know, this is exactly what Aaron's two sons did when they offered up to Yahweh strange fire. They forsook the commandment given to them and their duties to him and chose rather to do that which satisfied them and seemed appropriate to them. They rejected, they ignored, they disregarded the commandment of Yah. Verse 9, and Yahshua said unto them, full well you reject the commandment of Yah, that you may keep your own tradition. And if you look at this as purely an act of self-will and a nature where there is no longer a fear of Yah when people get to this point. It's full will. It's just not partly, but it's fully entrenched. It's actually self-will. It's willfully sinning. Full well, you reject the commandment of Yah. And so the only thing that anybody would have yet present is strange fire, foreign and profane offerings that Yahweh would not accept. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso cursed the father and mother, let him die the death. Okay, Moses was, repeating Yah's words. But now here where they're coming, they've added to Yah's words and changed the impact and the meaning and profaned his word. But you say, if a man shall say to his father and mother, it is korban, that is to say a gift, but whatsoever thou may profitest by me, he shall be free. And suffer him no more ought to do for his father or his mother. So they added something to it in their own religious mind. Again, totally disregarding that what the specificity of the commandment was. And inventing and bringing their own tradition, which of course Jesus, as Yah manifest in the flesh, is challenging these liars. And what all is done, the end result is making the word of Yah of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such things like do ye. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. Now pay attention, I want you to see what's going on here, right? For there is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. So who are his people? What? We who are his people know what his desires are. We know what he expects from us in our servitude towards him. But by not being sober and ready against foreign and profane things, and letting our guards down, there is always the possibility of allowing that which is unholy and not of Yah's ways to defile us inwardly, which we then in turn express outwardly and walk out that defilement before the Most High, again presenting ourselves as profane. As Jesus said in verse 16, if any man have ears, let him hear. Hallelujah. I hope everybody's been able to follow the thought here in tonight's study. So we're going to go into the book of Romans, and Romans chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Romans 2, 5 through 11. All right. But after thy hardness or stubbornness and impenitent or unrepented heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of Yah. Why? Why is this happening? What's going to happen? Well, because you're dealing with a situation where people are coming before Yah in stubbornness and unrepentance. And you're actually building up a case to be destroyed. Verse 6, who will render to every man according to his deeds. The actions by Aaron's two sons in offering up before Yahweh strange fire resulted in an instant judgment with no place to repent. They didn't get an opportunity in their stubbornness and their basically just defiance or defying Yah and doing their own thing. Their stubbornness and refusal to comply with Yah's ways cost them their lives. What are our deeds that we might do that might bring the wrath of Yah upon us? Some of the things we deeply need to examine and make sure that we're walking in lockstep to his ways. He understands somebody that's absolutely trying to be obedient to his word. I talk to so many people that, I've been listening for this many years and X amount of years, and you can tell the difference. You can tell the pretenders. And they're out there working. I can detect it right away that they're out there on the Shabbat day. Working on the Shabbat day, they don't do it all the time. You just simply ask them, hey, what did you think of the message yesterday? Because they tell you they've been listening for a year, 6 months, and 2 years, or 10 years. Yeah, what did you think of the Shabbat message yesterday? Well, I didn't get a chance to hear it yet. Really, why? You're supposed to be wrestling on the day. Well, I got this job, and sometimes I got to work, and I'd even have one guy tell me that, well, the ox fell in the ditch, and I do this, I'm on call, so kind of thing, so... It's like, man, these people are out there just totally misrepresenting, and Yah's blaspheming, his name is blaspheming among the Gentiles. And, you know, by their lifestyles, they're a strange fire. And they're showing, making Yah look less than he is. And you don't think, he ain't going to put up with that at all. Verse 7, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. For those who by patient continuance and well-doing, these are, and who do seek for glory and honor, immortality, they're going to be rewarded with eternal life. But the stubborn people, those with the unrepentant heart, they're going to receive wrath in the day of wrath. Verse 8, but unto them that are uncontentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, to them is going to be indignation and wrath. There is a punishment to those who do not obey the truth, to those who know to do good and don't do good, to those who would rather hold fast in their wicked ways than turn and follow Yah in all his demands and instructions as he has given them to his chosen people. Take something as simple as the structure of a man's house. Okay, we're going to talk about a family. Is the man walking in obedience to the word of Yah, or is he doing things outside of that which has been given in instruction, as we know the book says for him to do, and instead offering up a strange fire, foreign ideas and profane practices which have no place in Yah? He's misrepresenting Yah's ways. Or how about the wife who will not stay in her place, who will not get in her place, the one who is submitted to her husband, one of a meek and quiet spirit, one who is supposed to be a chaste keeper at home, one who builds up her house rather than plucking it down. What about this woman? This woman is presenting strange fire, profane ways, foreign ways that aren't of the Most High. Profane practice and foreign ideas which might suit her because of the spirit she's in, and her thoughts, but they are an affront to the Most High and not accepted of him, and there will be indignation and wrath if there isn't repentance and are turning away from wicked ways. So you can see how strange fire just relates across the board to so many different aspects of our life. But it just comes down to one single component, obey Yah. And don't deviate to the right or left. Don't reinterpret to fit your meaning, to fit your desire, to fit your thought. Because anything else besides what he's already prescribed is foreign and profane. Verse 9, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Yehudim first and also of the Gentile. Everybody's going to be counted in, anybody that does evil, to all souls. They're going to receive tribulation and anguish. But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Yehudim first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with Yah. There is no respect of persons with Yah. There is no title of office which would allow any man a pass, any man to presumptuously in Yah's sight be freed from judgment. Any man that acts presumptuously in Yah's sight, across the board, it doesn't matter. Yah expects us to comply, to walk in accordance to that which is written, not to alter or add or take away from that which has already been established. It's just that simple. He's not the author of confusion. He's made our lives and our ways pretty simple. He's given us a simple set of instructions and commands. Sirach, Ecclesiasticus, chapter 1, verse 21. Just one verse, Joss. Sirach 1, 21. The fear of Yahweh driveth away sin. So staying in the fear of the Most High, and the reverence, always knowing that, you know, you want to please your Elohim, you want to please Yah, you don't want to upset him, you don't want to do things that are profane and foreign before him where he can't recognize what it is that you're trying to present. And where it is present, he turneth away wrath. For the fear of Yah driveth away sins, and where it is present, it turneth away wrath. Because you're walking in the fear of the Most High, and you can't receive the wrath because you're simply keeping yourself in the fear of Yah. Now, outside of that, when you deviate and start offering up strange fire, then you're going to feel the back of his hand. All right, Ecclesiastes, we're going to finish on this. Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, just broke down beautifully in these few words. Fear Yah and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Don't keep man's commandments, man's tradition, man's ideas, man's thoughts, man's theologies, man's doctrines. Your whole duty and the conclusion of this whole duty is to fear Yah and keep his commandments. For Yah shall bring every work into judgment. Everyone. Now, if you're walking in his ways, keeping his commandments, then you're going to be judged righteous. With every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So we'll be brought out. Nobody's getting away with nothing. So that concludes the study on strange fire. And I really, truly pray that y'all understood the context and, the admonishment through this whole topic tonight. And do your best never to present yourself as your bodies, who you are, what you do before the Most High, before the people, in your prayer life, in your conduct amongst each other, you know, something that's foreign or profane before him where it causes his anger to be. Walk upright, continue to walk in the fear of the Most High, and it will be well with you. Well, hey, bless y'all. Y'all have a great rest of the week, and if y'all willing, we'll be back here in this chair again in 5 weeks. And as always, it is my heart's desire and request that you pray for the man of Yah, your Pastor Dow. You pray for all of our pastors. You pray for our eldership, the leadership, and pray for one another that y'all may be healed and come to that place of perfection and sanctification. So anyway, bless y'all and much shalom.